It is now time for the Amazing Race Recap! Okay, now, DJ Ad-Rock, you may be wondering where he is. He is not here last minute, and I'm talking, well, pretty last minute. So let's say at about 4 o'clock, DJ Ad-Rock messages me and he says, you know what, I can't make it. I know we've got our Amazing Race Recap that we got to do, and I was the one taking all the notes, but you know what, I can't make it. I know that we've got our big Koi battle because the Koi Music Festival is this weekend, but you know what? I can't make it. I'm sick. So, he was kind enough to send me his notes, and so I'm using DJ Ad-Rock's meticulous notes of the Amazing Race, Episode 9, in Newfoundland, or Newfoundland, however you would like to say it. As I do this recap here. But, you know what? DJ Ad-Rock, I cannot fill in for some of the insights that he throws in. But I'll do my best. Now, the first thing that he noted and I was saying to myself as I was watching Episode 9 of The Amazing Race was, especially after last week's episode, this was, finally, a damn good episode. And not just because someone gets voted out, we spoke about that last time, but things actually happen. Some of the challenges that they had to do throughout the episode were actually good, and they were actually hard and meaningful. As well as you got to see more great landmarks in Canada. Now, the one downfall. We'll get to that in a bit. So, things started off. They have to go to the Terry Fox Memorial. And they have to memorize one of his sayings and present it to some lady who will let him into some type of party. Some type of newfie... No, I probably can't say that. Some type of Newfoundland party. So... they're all getting there. They're getting there at different times. What I liked about this was they were able to get there at different times. It was the regular start, staggered start based upon last week, just them leaving. So no one got eliminated last week. They get there. They've got to memorize these, which gets them into this Newfoundland party. All they have to do at the Newfoundland party is kiss a fish and do a shot of some pink stuff, and they're good to go. They get the clue. So the biggest trick for this one, I guess, was the memorization. It was, I think, one line. That's all it looked to be. They didn't show the full thing that they had to memorize. They cut different clips of different people saying different things. But it looked like pretty much just one line. The KW boys almost screwed it up. So, just to recap, we got four teams left. The KW boys, the titular twins, the Tims, and Jet and Dave. So, they're going through. They're memorizing this. The KW boys almost screw it up. They start heading back, and they realize they forgot the word. I believe it was dream. They were saying anything is possible, but it's dreams are possible. So... they go back and they're fine, they get in. I don't think anybody really had that big of a deal, big of a problem with this one. And Team Ma'am, being in the competition, I don't think we would have either. We would have been par with everyone. Easy, the first one. So I was thinking that one was kind of like some of the past ones where they got to memorize, go to the thing. Like every team gets, whoever gets there first gets it done. And that's how that one was. I was starting to think that this wasn't going to be a good episode. But when they get past that, they get to a detour. The detour was interesting. They could do a storytelling task where they had to memorize a story and represent it to some fans. Or they can, and I can't remember the exact titles of it, DJ Ed Rock. He didn't supply me with those. But and the other one was pushing like some eggs and milk. So Jet and Dave decided to do the storytelling, as they should. The titular twins decide to do the storytelling, probably as they should. Actually, Jet and Dave probably could have pushed the milk and eggs too, but it wasn't really them doing it. It wasn't really a physical task. It was dogs pulling it, and you just had to make sure the dogs got it there and didn't spill your milk or break your eggs. So the Timms and the KW boys did that. The KW boys were in first, but they broke one of their eggs. They didn't pack extra eggs. The Timms were smart. They packed extra eggs. Now, I don't know. If Team Mam was in this one, we could probably do either one. I'm not one for memorizing, so I would probably say the milk and eggs delivery. But you know what? I think we could have done either one because we are amazing, amazing storytellers here on the Mono A Mono Show. Just memory. That's the only thing that I worry about. But coming out of that, I believe the Timms had a slight advantage over the KW boys. And coming out of the storytelling, Jet and Dave got out of there a bit quicker than the titular twins. Which leads you to the final task. They get in there and they have to do some busking. So they go to a music shop. They can pick anything they want. Anything in this entire music shop. And this one was weird. It was set. Certain people had to do it. So I don't know if certain people had to do it because of the amount that others had done in the past. So in order to even it out, that's why certain ones were selected. That's what I assume anyways. So anyways, these people are chosen to do these tasks. So the one titular twin goes into the music shop and comes out with a hula hoop. Goes into the music shop and they have hula hoops. The Timms, I don't even know what he came out with. What did he come out with? He doesn't have it here. Anyways, he didn't come out with really a musical instrument either. Like what? Oh, he came out with juggling balls. That's right. Juggling balls. From a music shop. So the KW boy comes out with a tambourine. A tambourine from an entire music shop. And then Dave comes out with a boot and a stick with jingle bells on it. And then when that doesn't work, he switches over to devil sticks. All this from a music shop. What kind of a music shop do they have in Newfoundland? Man, no wonder they call them the Newfies. Anyway, so those are their musical items that they're going out and they're busking with. They have to raise $50 busking. So obviously, the titular twin in her scantily clad outfit, probably some Lululemon pants, doing the hula hooping, gets out of there first, finishes, and gets there last, finishes first. The Timms, with his juggling, he does a good sales job, and he gets out of there, I believe he gets out of there third, actually. The KW boy, who started with the tambourine, decided to switch things up, which I think was a smart move, and started telling the story of what happened to him in the war and how he lost his legs, which got him out of there second, I believe. So it was a good switch up for not having musical talent, say. He had the tambourine. I think he just used it to get people to gather around a little bit. Was able to come out of there second. And Dave, I was surprised at. Dave, that must have been a fake band you were saying. I don't know how nobody that they showed on the episode, because I don't know how nobody picked up any actual musical instrument. And don't tell me that a boot with jingle bells on it is a musical instrument. And unbelievable. So Dave gets out of there last. It was still interesting to watch. It comes down to the chicks getting there first, and they just assume that the check-in is at the top of the hill. But the KW boys are smart, and they ask their cabbie where the most easterly point would be, and he shows them. So they actually check in ahead of the titular twins, and so they're first. Titular twins are second. The Tims, who got out of there third, out of the busking third, arrive third. And Jet and Dave end up last and end up being eliminated. And this was the Jet and Dave show. Like, everything. When, at the party, he had so many lines telling the story. Stop me if you've heard this one. Killed me. You're going to want to sit down for this. Killed me. I didn't catch a word you said at the party. Killed me. Everything. Dancing with the violin player. They end up getting the taxi driver who doesn't know any place in there, which was unbelievable. And then at the end, once they're eliminated, Dave's speech about having fun along the way, which is the most important part, and that's what losers say, killed me. Absolutely amazing. Now, I was so glad that this is the second last episode and the finale is next Monday, because I don't know if I could watch much more of the show without Jeff and Dave in the episodes. And in it, the host says, I'm sure that you guys will be back. And what I think that he's referring to is the next season of Amazing Race Canada, when they enlist Team Mam to compete. They're going to bring back Jet and Dave, because we've challenged them. We've challenged Jet and Dave back when they were winning everything, that we could beat them out. So I think that's what they're going to do leading up to the second season of Amazing Race Canada. Now, this whole thing took place in Newfoundland. So I'm going to get to a Newfoundland band. And the first one that came to my mind... There may be more, but the one I'm going with is Hey Rosetta. Here they are on Sound FM 100.3. Mono a mono!
This hotel is cheap and the pillows stink, and there's not a single thing to say it's Christmas Eve or St. Nicholas. I know I ain't in your list, but if you're listening, I need a bus ticket. I came through Montreal, I lost a lot of dough, could find no honest job, so I did some other ones, got into trouble and I had to run or suffer, and then a long road into a long December. Oh, St. Stephen, where is your feast? When I so sorely need it, when I haven't hardly eaten, but I give my food and drink to see my home again, to see my mother's hand against her apron. Southern wind, oh, send me up to my kin. Hear the boys singing through their drunken grinning. Oh, Jesus, Joseph, Mary, I hear their voices carry me home.
can any saints hear me? Is there any angel near me? If you won't lift me up, then would you send my love back to my home, back to my only shelter, where